Welcome to God in the Ordinary, a podcast featuring special guests talking about how they reveal God during the ordinary rhythm of their daily life. Presented by author and speaker Sharon Tedford.
My guest today encourages us to use one simple question to spark meaningful conversation about God. He's been helping others share the gospel all over the world using radio and television and is passionate about spreading the good news. My guest, the Tide Executive Director, Don Schenk. Hello, Don. Would you please greet everybody and tell everyone where you live?
Greetings to everyone. I live in central Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful areas of the world to live in.
It really is gorgeous there. You have actual seasons in Pennsylvania, don't you? Not like here in Dallas.
Oh, yes, we do. And one of our favorite jokes around here is sometimes we experience all four seasons in the span of 24 hours.
Yes, sweeping between the temperatures, indeed. Just very briefly, though, Don, you haven't always lived in Pennsylvania, have you? In fact, you grew up in another country.
My parents were serving as missionaries in what was Rhodesia at that time and is now Zimbabwe, and I was born while they were there.
Very interesting. Now, we're going to hear more about how Don's heart for the world beats strong. But before we get into the interview, Don, would you please share with us your reflection on Isaiah 61?
Certainly. That's a very rich passage of scripture, and I'd love to share my reflections on it. Isaiah 61 effectively portrays the full breadth of the good news of salvation that Jesus was sent to declare and facilitate. Phrases about healing, freedom, release, comfort, consolation, restoration, repair, and new life describe the benefits Christ provides as he works an incredible transformation in our lives and moves us from a place of oppressive despair and gloom to confidence and joy, from poverty and shame to a privileged position of honor and blessing. Essentially, Jesus came to remedy all the consequences of sin so that we can experience the life God intends for us and have the relationship with him that he desires. The words and imagery of Isaiah 61 take on a special vibrancy and significance when I meditate on them in the context of who I am today and consider the impact they have in shaping my life. As I daily open myself to receive all that Christ provides, God is taking me on a journey from the broken and sinful person I was to the loved and cherished child of God that he created me to be. This chapter could culminate in verse 10, when Isaiah declares, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness." These words resonate with my heart and express my mindset. However, God saw fit to inspire Isaiah to include a closing statement that the gospel is for all people and the certainty of God's intention to extend his kingdom into every country. Out of sheer gratitude and a desire to bring honor and glory to God, my personal life mission is to introduce others to Jesus so that they too may experience the incredible hope and joy that are encompassed in the gospel. The Tide Ministry extends that mission to include people in other nations. As we obediently comply with Christ's expectation that his followers emulate him and pass on everything that he has done for us, God will use our collective efforts to fulfill the prophetic final words of Isaiah 61. "So the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations."
Thank you for sharing that, Don. I can hear your enthusiasm for scripture and for the work that you do. I love that. Could you tell us more now about the Tide Ministry and how long it's been running and what's the main thing that you do?
Okay, certainly. The Tide Ministry started in 1946, right here in central Pennsylvania, in Chambersburg. Chambersburg was getting its first radio station. So a local minister, his name was Reverend Charlie Byers, he was encouraged by some of his congregants in his church to take the message, the gospel message, onto this new radio station. So he did that. He was there the first Sunday they opened up. He had booked airtime, preached the gospel on the air, and then he would go to church and preach there. And the program gained some popularity, had some impact, grew regionally, expanded regionally across North America. But in the 70s, when Transworld Radio began to open broadcasting towers, Charlie Byers had some connections with some of the people in Transworld Radio. They encouraged him to take the gospel and take that message into other countries, which initially they went into Southern Africa, which is as a former colonial area. Many people spoke English, then into India, but it didn't take as well in India until they began to send the message out in the Hindi language. And that brought about a transition that gradually over the coming years, from 1970 up to around the 2000s, and even in continuing on today, now focusing on sharing the gospel with people in the language they were born to speak. And in 2008, we actually dropped that English program. So we no longer do an English program here in the United States or anywhere in the world. Instead, focus on enabling indigenous ministers to produce and utilize a broadcast media ministry to make disciples and plant churches and develop leadership. So our focus has been to go into parts of the world where there is limited access to the gospel, and then to provide that access, as I said, in the language people were born to speak.
Wow, that's really interesting. So can you tell us a bit more about the places where you do minister? I know that evangelism in the Middle East can be a bit tricky, can't it? So do you evangelize through the Tide ministry in the Middle East? And can you tell us what is an estimate of how many listeners you now have?
It's a little bit hard to say how many listeners do we actually have. We do know that looking at the broadcast media we're utilizing, the populations in the areas, and trying to estimate who might be able to tune in that area, we do know that we can likely have a potential listening audience of over 800 million. Which, when you think of the total world population, it's a significant number. But to get back to the beginning of your question there, you know, some of the areas where we're doing that, they are areas where the gospel is greatly needed and yet has limited access, as I said. A big area of operation for us is in India, and that also includes Nepal and Bhutan. We have established a recording studio in a town in India, and I will be a little bit vague sometimes on exact locations and names because of the potential for persecution, so I apologize for that. In India, we are doing, between India, Nepal, and Bhutan, we're doing 12 different languages in that region. Then moving across next door into Pakistan, we have 2 different languages we're ministering in there. Also going into Central Asia in Afghanistan, we have another 2 languages there. Another area where we're putting a heavy focus right now is in what's called the Balkan region, where we started in Albania, Kosovo, have moved into North Macedonia, and next year anticipate Bosnia, Serbia, Montenegro, and a couple other Balkan states there. In Africa, we're in Cameroon, Mozambique, and Zimbabwe. So that's, yeah, we're also in Thailand. There's some significant work going there.
That's incredible. The list is long, and I'm impressed that you remember them all as well, Don. That's amazing. You just mentioned something that intrigues me a little bit. You said that we don't do it in English anymore. Tell me about why you think meeting people in their heart languages, as you said, is important. And do you just basically translate each program into a different language, so it's saying the same thing over and over again? Or do you think about the cultural importance in each situation?
We definitely take the cultural aspect into consideration, and we are not a translation service. You know, I've had people say, well, this other ministry, they're doing 72 different languages, and you know, you're doing 30. What's so great about you? Well, I'll tell you what's so great about us. Not to diminish what's being done, but those who are doing a translation, oftentimes the message doesn't translate as well. It still has impact, but to be able to have it being preached from the heart of someone in that culture who can share in a very culturally relevant context. But one of our big concerns, and one of the things we're very careful about, is making sure that they are preaching scriptural truth, not bringing in syncretization or trying to mix. There's so many places in the world, and it's true even here in North America where I live, people might not realize it, but there is a cultural component to our faith. Very many times we identify our culture and our faith as one. And so when we take a program in, even in an area where people speak English, there can be, God can use that. But when they hear it in their own language instead of English, it doesn't come across as, I don't want to use the term attack, but any kind of a threat to their culture. but it comes across as a God who understands them, speaks to them in their language, and can identify with them in their cultural context. It's a slight difference, but it's a significant difference. I've been in countries where, well, I grew up, where I said, in Zimbabwe, where there are people who are multilingual. But I know Ndebele people would tell me, you know, that guy there, he's claiming he's Ndebele, but we know he's not because he's not saying our words quite exactly right. He's mispronouncing some things. You know, it's just like anybody who meets me. When I first moved into central Pennsylvania, I'd spent about 28 years of my life in Zimbabwe. I sounded different than most of the people in central Pennsylvania, and they knew. They would ask me, "Oh, so where are you from?" And so it immediately puts up a bit of a resistance to the gospel message when it's coming in a language that isn't your unique birth language.
That's really important. You know, that's what we talk about here all the time, that our faith definitely has a cultural component, which is why God invites us to reveal him in our ordinary everyday lives, because we automatically then reach into people's cultures around us. So apart from Christian programming, do you do any other kind of on-air, like a daily school, for instance?
We don't do like a daily school, but we do operate like on the ground. The broadcasting aspect of our ministry is probably the most visible and what people know us for. The other aspect of the discipleship side of it and meeting face to face, we refer to our boots on the ground as the people that we have working in the countries. And what they are doing in some countries are providing, for example, in India, we have over 30 adult literacy training centers. That can be a community center in a village where people gather and they have not had the advantage of education, so they don't know how to read and write, but providing them with that education, also teaching good agricultural practice, good hygiene, various aspects of bringing improvement into their lives so that they know we're not just there just to try to change their religion, but Jesus cares about every aspect of their lives. And so when they want to know, how can I be more productive in my gardening or in my agriculture, we're there to try to help to train some of that.
Yeah, so it sounds like you're not only reaching out to Christians. Do you reach other people as well?
I would say our primary focus is to reach out to the unbelievers and the non-Christians. Now, much of this, like the adult literacy and some of these things, they take place through congregations that we've helped to plant. And so when we get a house church meeting in a village, that can become an adult literacy training center and an outreach center for some of these other social impact programs that we provide.
It sounds exactly like what we should be doing in the church here in the West. Do you think that's true, that we should be continuing to outreach, that we should be training and helping and loving people, whether we're in a house church or a big church?
Oh, absolutely. Something we do is we call it leader to leader. And I've actually thought of asking my board if we can change it from leader to leader to servant, because we will take pastors and lay leaders from here in the U.S., put a team together, take them to an area of the world where they can meet with our boots on the ground, provide spiritual encouragement, teaching, and training for them. And very often, we'll get back here and I'll have somebody, maybe it's a pastor or somebody who's on that team, say, we need to be doing back here what you're doing over there. So you're right. It sounds like it because it's true. And we do need, because in some of the more developed regions of the world where the church has been seen to perhaps become irrelevant because life is so good and people don't see the need for God, but the need is still there.
Oh, yes, it is. That's so true.
Yeah, and I don't want to chastise and condemn the church in North America here, because God has his faithful. We wouldn't exist without that, because, you know, we're a non-denominational, not affiliated with any kind of specific church, but just an evangelical outreach. And without the support, we couldn't be doing what we are overseas. And we are able to do that because there are people who have a heart for the gospel. And they want to see other people around the world know who Jesus is and have that faith and hope that we have. And so they provide the support and we become the channel that enables them to share their faith in other parts of the world.
so important. I just want to go back and touch on something that you said a moment ago about training people in country. So are you training people in country and then leaving them to do their work? Or do you bring Americans and other people who speak English as their first language into a country and set them up as the leaders?
No, we are not a sending agency in that sense. So what we do is we are working solely with indigenous people. For example, in Albania, we identified a young church planting pastor, very on fire for God, enthused about sharing his faith, wanting to plant churches, but didn't know if he could really preach messages on air. And so we helped him with some resources and some training, and he has become just an incredible indigenous missionary, if you want to put it that way. So he is using the radio ministry to make disciples, planting new fellowship groups, and even the radio station we have him on is in northern Albania, reaches into next door Montenegro. He takes mission trips on his own into that country to share the gospel and to connect with listeners who are hearing him there.
You're listening to God in the Ordinary with me, Sharon Tedford, and my guest, Don Schenk. Don, can you please tell us about the Have You Heard campaign? It really sounds like something that we can all do to reveal God in the ordinary rhythms of our day, especially as we start a new year and are perhaps thinking of new ways to live our life for the gospel.
Certainly, Sharon. This is something that we have realized that as we are doing evangelistic work in other parts of the world, we also want to encourage people here at home to engage in sharing the gospel. I've mentioned before that we feel the mandate to take the gospel where there's limited access. When we first stopped our English program, we stopped that because we felt we were called to go where their need is greatest. And over the ensuing years, we have realized that there's an incredible need right here at home. Yes, we have a strong support base in the evangelical community, but in society in general, we are fast becoming what I believe is one of the most pagan nations in the world. And there are people who need to hear about Jesus. And so we're encouraging believers not just to hold their faith internally, but to live it vibrantly, and not just to live it, but to share it. And so Have You Heard is based on that passage in Romans where Paul gives a very concise presentation of the gospel. He says, if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, you will be saved. And he goes on to share about this is for everyone, this isn't exclusive. But then he comes to, I believe it's in Romans 10, verse 14, Paul raises this series of questions. How do you believe in something you haven't heard about? How do you hear unless somebody tells them? How do they tell them unless they're sent? But there's this how. And so how will they hear? And we're challenging people to ask the question, have you heard? Ask your neighbors. Ask people you meet on the street. Ask people you interact with. Become very, very intentional. Don't just let people assume you're a believer because of your behavior. Because the truth is, there are good people who don't know Jesus. And how will people know if I'm treating them just because, you know, the way I treat them, well, he's just a good man. I treat them that way because of what Jesus has done in my life. And they need to know that it's Jesus in me. And I think a perfect example of how that can kind of play out. For a while, my wife and I served as missionaries in Zimbabwe. I was teaching at a high school, and I had a student say to me, of course, he's young, he's living in the after effects of very intense racialism in that country. And he looked at me in the middle of a science lecture, he raised his hand, and he said, I have a question. He said, Mr. Schenk, why are you different from other white people?
Wow.
And of course, that was the open opportunity for me to say, because of Jesus and what Jesus has done in my life. And so we need to encourage people here in North America to impact society with the gospel. And an easy way to do that is to ask people, have you heard? Start that conversation. And one of the things that we're doing right now is we're offering a t-shirt that says, have you heard, right on it. And it does have the reference Romans 10:14. You can wear that, and you can use that as a conversation starter. And whether you wear a t-shirt or whether you are doing good things for people, intentionally helping people, providing compassion, whatever it is that you are doing because of what God has done in your heart, don't just do it. Continue to do it. Tell people why you're doing it.
That's so important. That is the final sending out of the arrow, isn't it? Not just that we do things that are good, but that we do it in the name of Jesus. So tell me about the t-shirts. Can we get them from a shop, or can we get them wherever we live in the world? How do we do that?
Unfortunately, it's not just as easy as going to any shop and getting it. We do have a supply here at the office. And what we are asking people to do is to pay a $10 registration fee online at thetide.org/haveyouheard. And when they go there and register, they can state the size of the t-shirt that they need. But also, we do ask for contact details because we want to hold people accountable. This is not a free t-shirt that we're sending. It's a challenge. It's a commitment. And some people, they back away a little bit from that and they say, so if I don't ask at least 10 people in the next year, do I have to give the t-shirt back? No. That we're not legalistic about that. 10 is just it's a goal. You know, it's kind of a scriptural number of completeness and perfection. But if you don't set a goal, you really might not do anything. And so we have that set up. Get your t-shirt. You can join our online community. We've created a Facebook Have You Heard group where people can go share their stories. Because we encourage those who are participating to tell us, you know, what are the challenges you're facing? Are you getting resistance? What are the joys you're experiencing? Tell us a story of a life that you've changed. One young lady wrote in and she said, wow, I was really nervous about this, but I asked a friend at school, have you heard about Jesus? And she hadn't. And now she's coming to youth group with me at my church. Sharing little stories like that, you know, I think too much we expect the pastors and the church leaders to be the ones sharing the gospel and making disciples. But that's not the way it works, and that's not the way God intended it. God intended for anyone who follows him to invite others to join in and follow with them. You know, Paul said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. As we live our daily lives, integrating our faith into our conversations, not being afraid to share it.
Absolutely. And that's really what we encourage people to do here. I love that question. It's so simple. Have you heard? It's something that we can all grab hold of. It's just three little words that could actually change someone's life. So you're talking about evangelizing. You know, that's the word that we would use in the church. We're talking about sharing our faith with people. Once we've evangelized to someone, we take them to church, we check it off the list. We say, that's one of 10. Where's number two? Tell us a little bit about the further step beyond just evangelism. What's the next step, Don?
After we've put the word out there, or after you've shared the gospel with someone, to walk beside them, to help them learn how to live the Christian life and how to live out the relationship with God. And so what we do through the Tide Ministry in other parts of the world, this is also applicable here at home, is we do provide Christian literature. We get people connected with either a house church or perhaps as an established congregation. As I said, we're a non-denominational ministry, but we have connections in countries around the world with other ministries. So we have somewhere to direct a listener. So when we get letters where listeners say, you know, I've embraced Jesus, I heard about Jesus on the radio, now please help me, what do I do next? One of the things is to hold what we call seekers meetings, where we will gather, and these have been especially successful in some countries, where listeners will come together and we'll have, sometimes it's just a day, sometimes it's a whole weekend of more intense teaching, and people can ask the questions that are on their mind. You know, when you hear something on the radio, it might raise questions, but you can't talk back to the radio and you can't ask that radio.
You can, but you don't get much answer, right?
Right, exactly. But when you invite those people, say, okay, we're coming into this village on a certain day and we're just going to have a bunch of people there to talk about faith. And they get into small groups and they can discuss with a leader in each group. One of the most vivid memories I have in mind is one time I was in India. I was there more as an observer. because the indigenous people are doing the ministry. And I could see one guy, he was just hammering them with questions, just hammering. And he really seemed intense. And I was just praying for him. And at the end of the day, they said, okay, you've been here, you've heard. If you now want to make a commitment and say, you definitely want to follow Jesus, we'd like you to stand and we're going to pray with you. And they were standing all back and forth. I watched this guy and I watched. And it seemed like he was wrestling. And then I was just praying, God, just touch him with your Holy Spirit. Just get him, God. And he stood up and he prayed. And that's the start of the journey, having those answers. But then not again, not just to send him out, but to send them out with a Bible, to give them, in some languages, we have correspondence courses available that they can take those correspondence courses and learn more. And then obviously trying to connect them with groups of believers where they have that family, that spiritual family to connect with and to walk alongside.
Thank you. All of those steps are so important and replicable in our own lives, in our own communities. So if you are listening today and you think, actually, the challenge for the question, have you heard, is something I really want to take up as part of my new year. I want to do that this year. If someone's listening and they're thinking, yeah, actually, I want to be able to just say that question to 10 people and let the Lord do what he wants with the rest of it, how can they contact you? You mentioned it a bit earlier, but let's just say it again. How can we find the Tide Ministry? And if they want to do that, are there other ways that people can support your ministry?
Go to thetide.org/haveyouheard. We'll take you there. There is a get involved page where there's other areas and ways to engage with us in taking the gospel around the world. And obviously the financial support is a big one. You can sign up to receive our newsletter to get regular updates and prayer bulletins. Pretty much we send out those on a weekly basis. But we are encouraging everyone, whether it's with the Tide Ministry or with others, find a way to put feet to your faith and to actively become involved in sharing the gospel and building God's kingdom wherever you are. So in some ways, as I said, we at thetide.org are glad to have people engage with us. And if you have questions, there's a form there you can fill out and send it. And it does come directly to my desk, so I will see it.
I love that. So you can actually contact Don on his desk by sending one of those emails. Thank you for sharing the story of the Tide and helping us recognize how we can be accountable and be challenged to share our commitment to Jesus with other people in our everyday lives. You know, this story really makes me think about that verse in Zechariah 4:10 that says, don't despise the day of small beginnings. The Tide started off as just something very small, one radio program, and now it's reaching out across the world. Do you think that we can start a Tide like this in our own lives, Don?
I do, Sharon. I do believe it. And I think it's so important that we realize that when we see challenges or see things that look too big for us, that we remember the size, strength, and majesty of the God that we serve. And what he will do through us if we offer ourselves to be used by him and just place our faith in him. A simple question, have you heard? He can use that little spark to set off a fire of evangelism in your own life.
Thank you so much for joining us today here. Don Schenk from the Tide Ministry, it's been an absolute pleasure having you. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon. It's been a joy.
You've been listening to God in the Ordinary with me, Sharon Tedford, and my guest, Don Schenk, Executive Director of The Tide Ministry. Go to thetide.org where you can find out more about how to join in with their Have You Heard campaign.
The producer is Gary Dell, and this is a Wise Word Radio 61 Things co-production. Go to 61-things.com to tell us how you reveal God in the Ordinary.